This special episode of Rob is a Podcast, talking about Married at First Sight, is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. You know, the new year can be a good time for a mental health check-in. That's why BetterHelp offers online licensed professional therapists who are trained to listen and to help with a ton of different mental health issues like anxiety, depression, stress, relationship conflicts that can be very important to the people that are going through the Married at First Sight process. Of course, things like trauma, anger, grief, especially with everything going on right now, it is definitely a time to talk to somebody about your mental health if you need it. Finding a therapist can be intimidating and time-consuming. With BetterHelp, you can simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and then get matched up with your counselor in under 48 hours. Easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages with your therapist from the comfort of your own home. Everything you share is confidential, and if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is a convenient and affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off their first month with the discount code RHAP. So get started today at betterhelp.com/RHAP. There's no shame in asking for help. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back, and we are talking about a new show for me, at least. We're going to be talking about Marriage at First Sight, which kicked off season number 12 with a not one, not two, but 3-hour premiere. And here to talk about it with me and why you should check out Marriage at First Sight is a woman that we got to know during the Big Brother season. Back with us, it's Asia Welch. Asia, how are you?
Hey, Rob. I'm so happy to be back. So happy to be talking about some more television, especially Married at First Sight. Like I always tell people, like Big Brother, all-time favorite show. But then Married at First Sight, I mean, I've been there since the very beginning. So yes. I'm so happy to be talking about it and maybe pulling in some more people so more people get on the bandwagon and see what this show is all about and how crazy it is.
Yes. I think I called it Marriage at First Sight at the opening.
Yes, so, it's married.
Yes, please. Please don't drag me already, people. All right. I have never seen this show before. Asia reached out to me last month and said, hey, I love Married at First Sight. We should check it out. I said, well, I love 90 Day Fiance, so maybe this will be in my wheelhouse. I said, let's talk about it when the premiere comes up. And so Asia is here and we're going to be talking about that here today. The show airs on Lifetime. I'm sure there are lots of different ways to check out the premiere. We'll be talking through the first episode and I would say, quote unquote, spoiling it. There's not much to spoil. We're just going to meet the characters here over the course of 3 hours. There are 5 couples participating in Married at First Sight. But Asia, for people who maybe did not follow the Big Brother or did not get a chance to get to know you during Big Brother, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, Asia?
Yeah, of course. So I am 28. I live in Houston, Texas. I work in IT during the day, and then at night I'm watching all of the television there is to be had. I have a puppy. She is going to be 6 months this weekend. So proud of her. Her name is Pepper.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm everything that people like hate about new dog moms. I mean, she's precious. Being in a pandemic, I'm home 24/7 now because I work from home. So I'm with her all the time. And so my life revolves around her.
Okay. Asia, how did you find yourself as a super fan of Married at First Sight?
You know, Lifetime is one of those channels that you're not always on unless you're just trying to find a good Lifetime movie. And so just happened to be on Lifetime. And, you know, I think my mom actually saw the previews and we watch a lot of the same shows together. And she was like, what is this Married at First Sight? Like people are like actually getting married and the first time they see each other is at the altar. And I was like, what? And so I had to check it out. And then I was literally hooked from episode 1, season 1, back in 2014. And I vividly remember telling like coworkers about it because we talk about shows and stuff. And I told them about it and they're like, that's weird. And there's just so many mixed reviews about the concept of the show because people think that either you're like making fun of the sanctity of marriage or, you know, people are not valuing marriage because they're doing this show. But, you know, there are some really good success stories from this show, but there are also some tragic failures from the show as well. But hey, that's real life too. When people just meet each other organically.
Asia, as the show says, we are going to take five couples and we are going to marry them. They are put together by some sort of a matchmaking service. We'll talk about how that all comes together in this episode. From what you've seen, Asia, is this something that you would do?
You know, Rob, that's a very funny question. That's something, okay. I saw that they were casting for Married at First Sight Houston. And I do live in Houston.
Yeah.
And I would be lying if the thought did not cross my mind.
Yes.
But then I thought, you know what? I can do it on my own. I don't have to leave it up to the experts. So then I decided not to apply.
I think I could do it. I think that I would be a good fit for Married at First Sight. I mean, I would feel bad for the woman they matched with me. But for me, I'd be like, all right, well, this saved me a lot of trouble. That's fun. I could deal with anything. I could whatever you throw at me. All right, that's my new reality. Okay, this is my wife now.
You just accept it and move on.
Yeah, I'd be fine. I think I could do it.
See, I don't know. It's so hard because I mean, a lot of the times on the show, you see these people that they have such a specific criteria for what they imagine themselves with, and then the experts either disappoint or just knock it out of the park. And so like, if I think about like my perfect match and I think, man, you know, no one in the past has worked out clearly. So maybe the experts, you know, are onto something, but I've seen such tragic stories that I just don't have enough faith that I would be the one or two success stories on that season. So I'm like, it just, the juice doesn't seem worth the squeeze when you see the heartache from the failures, but you know, it works out for some people.
Okay. All right. So five couples here, Married at First Sight Atlanta. Do you know about the production schedule here, Asia, and how much COVID came into play here? Because it really does not get mentioned at all in the episode outside of a quick mention here or there. And then there's also a inflatable woman doll that's brought to a bachelor party that is wearing a mask.
Right. Literally the only sign of COVID in this episode were the masks. Like no one made it. You would think this was 2019. It was bizarre to me because so this is season 12. In season 11, it was such a strong part of the storyline because production was placed on hold. The couples had to go an extra like 4 or 6 weeks longer than the experiment was supposed to go because production was shut down, and it weighed heavily on a lot of the couples. Like some of the couples, they either got closer or they strayed apart because of the quarantine. So this season, believe it or not, actually filmed from August to October of 2020. Very much so in the pandemic. I don't understand why it wasn't mentioned.
Did not seem like it. Yeah, nobody seemed to be following a protocol or anything like that, except for that one blow-up doll. She was very safe.
No social distancing, nothing. I was so confused.
It was wild. Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. Married at First Sight. Okay. Tell me about the process of, okay, so you apply, hey, I want to be on Married at First Sight. How do they go about finding the perfect scientific match? Because the only thing that I've seen that's anything close to this is when I used to watch Are You the One on MTV, and they would then put you into the truth booth to be able to tell if this person was your perfect match.
Yes. So it's very Are You the One-esque in the sense that if those perfect matches had to get married, and they also don't get the privilege of choosing that perfect match.
Yeah.
With shows like on Are You the One, they just don't have the right judgment. They go after what they want, not what they need. Whereas Married at First Sight cuts that out. You don't even have to use your judgment, nothing. You just have to get to the altar. So the process is that, you know, they take this group of applicants. This season, they said they had 70,000 applicants in Atlanta. And so what they do is they narrow it down based on qualified candidates. And then the experts, quote unquote, the experts will take that group and then match people up. So they'll decide, okay, we'll narrow it down to maybe like 12 people. And then we'll see, okay, would this person match with this person match with this person, all the way until they get to five couples. And the experts, I question their judgment sometimes.
Yeah.
Because the explanation they give us. So the experts are usually some variation of doctors, such as like psychologists, sociologists. They've changed over the seasons. So this season, it's Dr. Pepper, which is actually why I named my dog Pepper. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm kidding.
Dr. Pepper's the real name.
Yeah. Her name is Pepper Schwartz. Okay. So she's a sociologist. She's actually been there since the beginning. So she is like an OG doc, an OG expert. So it's been great to have her there because she's seen where the show has come from. And then you have Pastor Cal. So he's a marriage counselor. Mm-hmm. And then you also have Dr. Viviana, and she's a marriage and family therapist. So those three work together, of course, along with production, to match people up. And they see who is the perfect match and then decide on their final matches. Dr. Pepper also does some home visits once they narrow it down a few more to a few people and kind of look at their home, see if they're fit for marriage, if they're ready to commit. Are they living the single life? And then they decide on the final couples.
Hold on, Asia. That I have the Married at First Sight Wikipedia open. Spoiler alert for old seasons. Asia. Do you know from the first seven seasons of Married at First Sight, how many couples are still married of the couples from Married at First Sight?
From the first seven seasons?
First seven seasons. And it looks like they only have three couples. So 21 couples.
Three. How many?
Yeah, right now.
Yes, okay.
Yes. You know.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, no, I'm looking at it as well. So yeah. Yes, of the first seven seasons. Oh, okay. No. I had it on deck, Rob.
Four.
I had to look it up.
Four people, four couples are still married out of 21 couples. This is a terrible ratio.
That's what blew my mind early in the first few seasons, like 2014, 2015, watching this show. I'm like, how is this show still on? The success rate is atrocious.
Rob as a podcast has married more couples than this show.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense. Like, it is worse than, you know, you would, the purpose of the show is to see success in marriage. And you would think, okay, after three seasons, there's still just like one couple that's still married. Mm-hmm. You would think they would say, oh, okay, we should probably give it up. But no, they go another season. Everyone gets divorced. Mm-hmm. And then they go another one. And finally, they get another married couple. And then you always see the experts say, this is proof that the process works. Look at these two people. This is proof that the process works. They never look at the fact that everyone else is divorced.
Asia, do the people that go on the show, do they become like really famous? Like, do they have like a big like Instagram following, like Bachelor contestants or some of the Big Brother people or anything like that? Like, are people there for the wrong reasons?
I would say of the past 12 or I guess 11 seasons, there are a couple that have picked up some Instagram followers, like to the level of Big Brother followers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you'll see people with like maybe like a 13,000, 15,000. But, you know, even if someone is going on there for the fame, they're not going to get it there. Yeah. Where if you look at like Big Brother, The Challenge, those people are like, let's say they're like D-list. Like, these people are Z-list for sure. Like, it's not. because what are they popular for? For, yeah, you know, having a failed marriage most of the time.
And they can't parlay this into like going on the challenge or doing right? some sort of like, is there like a Married at First Sight pillow talk or anything like that, or All Stars?
They do have so many spinoffs. They have Lifetime. I feel like this is Lifetime's bread and butter, because it actually didn't start on Lifetime. It was on FYI at first, and then it made its way to Lifetime a few seasons ago.
Okay.
And there have just been so many spinoffs. Like they have like Married at First Sight Second Chances, where they took two people that got divorced, and then they had their own little versions of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette on one season.
Oh.
They put on Honeymoon Island, which is kind of like, if you think of like a Bachelor in Paradise,
yeah,
that was similar to that. And then they have like Couples Cam, where they show their successful couples and they're just like filming themselves and giving updates, because there have been like, I think they said 8 Married at First Sight babies. So a lot of the successful couples have, you know, grown their families. And so they definitely have a lot of spinoffs. So the best chance these people have is a Married at First Sight spinoff.
Yes.
But I mean, look at the challenge. They got someone from like wrestling. They got someone from America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
It's possible. Okay. It's possible.
Do you watch a lot of the shows on Lifetime Asia?
So I watched like The Rap Game.
Yes.
Maybe at the end,
let's come back. And I want to talk. I've been meaning to do this on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast that I do with Puya, of going through all of the shows on TLC and seeing what they're about. So maybe we could come back around to talking about the rest of the Lifetime lineup. All right.
Yeah.
Asia, do you want to talk about these 5 couples, or is there anything else to set up here with Married at First Sight?
I will say, first of all, Rob, you're a trooper for sitting through 3 hours.
3 hours.
Never have they done a 3-hour premiere. Like, this is not The Bachelor. This is not the finale of The Bachelor. Yeah. Why would we sit around and watch three? I mean, we did, but...
Asia, 3 hours and we got one couple to the altar.
Yes. Not even I wanted to say, okay, at least we'll get one wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get to see the reveal.
No.
They didn't even show what they looked like.
Well, how many episodes are in a season?
What the reaction was.
Is this like a 400
usually around
episodes?
Like 17.
Yeah, okay, 17.
Like 17.
And then how long does the season last in terms of the real time of what they filmed?
So it lasts about, so it's 8 weeks.
Yeah.
8 weeks total is what the experiment is. Yeah.
Okay. So.
And so before the premiere, they had, so 2 weeks ago, they had the matchmaking special. And so we got to see a little bit more about the couples. And then last week, they had the kickoff special, which was also 3 hours. So
What happened on the kickoff special?
I definitely skipped through a lot of that. They had this panel of just experts, which were just like, you know, like a blogger or a person that like writes for a magazine. And they were making their predictions and giving a little bit of commentary about the people. So it's kind of like a podcast, but on Lifetime at prime time.
Okay. So we are going to meet our couples and start to get them ready to eventually get to go to their wedding. And that's what happens in this episode. We meet each of the people in the 5 couples, and then we get the men together and we get the women together. That was my favorite part of the whole episode, was the interaction between the 5 grooms and the 5 brides.
Yes. That and that's funny, because they didn't even start doing that until season, I want to say 6 or 8, where they were bringing the couples together.
Yeah.
They used to just have the couples isolated. They would never meet the whole time, like throughout the whole experiment. And so the couples didn't really have anyone to relate to. So it was a lot tougher.
Yeah.
And so now they have the couples together every step along the way. They live in the same apartment complex, and so it really gives them someone to lean on, which helps. Yeah, it helps, because when they are going through a difficult situation, it's hard to go to a friend who met the organically way, and they're like, oh, I'm dealing with this. And their friend's just like, well, we had time to know each other before we got married. So.
Yeah. Asia, I would have liked it better if they would have like taken the 5 people and then almost like they do this on Love Island, where it's like, okay, here are the five people. All right, here's this guy. And it's like, all right, let's find out which one of you women you're going to be married to him. And then you could get like the reaction, like, oh, please, not him.
Right.
I feel like that would be a better way to do it. But anyway, maybe for season 13.
Yeah, that could get sticky.
Yeah. Okay.
They had a season 10 where one of the brides actually went on a date with one of the husbands after the 8 weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. One of the other husbands.
Yeah. Okay. I liked him. Yeah. That should be my perfect match.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So they give us sort of titles for all of these different people. I didn't catch every single one. So, but hopefully between the two of us, we can have like their little title that they just give them. It's basically sort of like their superhero yearbook nickname of each person.
Right. Right. And by the looks of some of them, I think they might be self-proclaimed.
Yeah.
Because I thought at first I was thinking like, at first it seemed like, the experts gave this to them.
No.
But yeah, no, these are self-proclaimed.
Okay. The first couple that we met was Brianna and Vincent. And Brianna is known as the outspoken optimist. And Vincent is a legacy builder.
Right.
Okay. Brianna and Vincent.
Yeah. So Brianna being the optimistic, the outspoken optimist.
Yes.
You know, I fear for her because, you know, she's going to go into this bright eyed and bushy tailed. And she does seem like one of those people where the first little bit of conflict might mess up her vision of the perfect marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things they said about her was she was she said about herself. So she's an engineer, which is pretty impressive. She's a clean freak. So that's definitely going to be a point of concern. And she doesn't open up easily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You did like for that to be a quality that you are very aware you have. You're very self-aware that is a characteristic of yourself and you want to go into marriage.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work, Rob? Being the experienced one here, having a marriage.
Yes, yes. And I've never been divorced either.
Right, right.
So I guess that does make me a marriage expert. I got the sense that a lot of these people, they're just like, I'm done with dating. I'm quitting dating. That's it. I've seen it all. Whatever. Like, just give me the next person and I'll make it work. I'm ready to settle down.
Well, it's just wild because some of these people are like, 26.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 28 and I can't say I'm done with dating. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it all.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm just going to take it upon myself to say, I'm done. I'll marry the next man that these experts think that is the perfect guy for me.
Yeah.
She's picky.
Yes.
She wants someone who's patient.
Right.
I mean, and then obviously they all want someone who's financially stable.
Yes. Yes. Nobody's like,
right.
Money is, not important to me. I do not,
right.
If they have a job or not, whatever, fine.
Yeah.
I see the appeal though in this, and this is why I think I could be on this show because if I was in the dating pool and I was going on date after date after date and it wasn't working. Then I could say, look, I am, not having good luck with this. Let me go ahead and you pick. And then if it doesn't work, I almost, not my fault. I didn't pick her. Wasn't me. You know, it's almost like I'm sort of relieved of if it didn't work out. It was like, don't blame me for this one. I didn't pick her. this is who they gave me.
Yeah, it's not your fault at all,
mm-hmm.
which is just it's so funny too. And you know what I naturally think about is your Enneagram.
Yes,
with you being a nine,
yes.
Like that's your personality type.
That is so. But I feel like I would be a good fit for this show.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. And you know what? Thinking back, and I don't like to type people, but. Thinking back, there are so many guys on this show that are nines because they're just like, so go with the flow. Mm-hmm. And then the girls are always like, I want him to show me more. I want him to take the initiative. I don't want him to agree with me on everything. I want him to fight back. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just too calm, cool, and collected for the women. And like, with me being a seven, like, I know that if you have someone who is like that, maybe, you know, a negative Ned, or he doesn't like to have fun, or they think I, because I like to have fun, or I am, you know, an extrovert, that I need someone who will bring me down and mellow me out, which is a lot of the time their justification. Mm-hmm. Like, specifically for Brianna and Vincent, they're like, oh, they'll balance each other out. Mm-hmm. When is that the case? Like, you know, people do say opposites attract. And I'm no expert here on relationships by any means.
Yeah.
But there are sometimes you need things in common to keep it going.
Let's talk a little bit about Vincent. Vincent, that he is works as an auto broker. He wants to have children. He's looking right. for a salsa partner for his life.
He is. And he is very persistent on wanting to have children.
Yes.
And I could see that being an issue because they have pressed it so hard with him thinking about his dad. And then he doesn't want to be like his dad. He wants to be a good dad. And I could see him wanting to have children within the first year. And then Brianna's like, oh, I want to wait
empire.
A couple of years before. So, yeah. Like, like Chris Williams II. Yes. Mm-hmm. Build an empire.
Yeah.
Make replicas of himself.
Yeah. Let me just say, hard to build an empire with kids around.
Exactly. I mean, you see, yeah, yeah. I've seen that in a previous season where someone had all these goals and mm-hmm. they were like, when I have kids, I want to write a book. And she was like, they got in a huge fight because she was like, you can't write a book once you have children.
Yeah.
And so it turned into this huge thing. But
this is my advice for young people. Do everything that you need to get done in your life and then have kids. Right. That's my advice.
That's the advice. Okay, I'll write that down.
I haven't gotten anything done since 2015. Or have one kid. That's it. Right. Okay. So good luck to Brianna and Vincent. Overall, I feel like that they seemed pretty normal and that there wasn't a ton of drama with them during the episode.
Yeah, it seems that way. Like, it seems like the experts always put their eggs in a couple of baskets. Like, they spend their most energy on a couple of couples. Like, we know when they're going to work out. And I feel like Brianna and Vincent are that couple this season. Mm-hmm. Because they seem like such a good match. Like, neither one seems like a character. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to work out for them.
All right. Let's talk about Virginia and Eric. Because to me, this feels like the couple that feels like it is not going to work.
Exactly. To set it up, they are... So Eric is 38. Mm-hmm. Virginia is 28. So they are 10 years apart. And I want to say this is probably the biggest age gap we've seen in Married at First Sight history. And Eric is also the first divorcee we've ever had.
They've never had anybody that's weird, because I feel like that every single person on the show is going to be divorced soon.
Right. Yeah, they're all going to be a part of the divorcee club very soon. But yeah, they've never had a divorcee. And so, like, for one, I think Virginia is going to have to get over the fact that he's been married before, because she's going to wonder what happened. And his explanation, he explained it more in the matchmaking special, was he was like, yeah, it was 2 years ago. We're still like on good terms. We just don't talk. And he didn't even make it. It wasn't clear at all, like, why it resulted in divorce. Mm-hmm. And so I'm afraid that he's not going to do a very good job of explaining. And she's going to basically have an insecurity about that part of the relationship, because the number one thing Virginia says she needs that she fears is abandonment. Yes. And so it's like, you give the girl who fears abandonment the most to the person who has experienced divorce. So it shows her he'll get divorced.
Well, Asia, not just that, that he has been divorced. Her number one fear is abandonment, as she tells us. And then also Eric is a airline pilot, right?
Yes.
Who also goes away on long trips. And
yes.
that's been a deal breaker for in the past that, you know, the person that I'm in a relationship with doesn't always, you know, like it that I'm gone for long stretches of time. And we matched him up with the woman that has abandonment issues.
Exactly. It makes no sense. Like, why? Like, why would this? Okay, so my question is, this is 8 weeks. Is he going to be home all 8 weeks, or is he going to be flying? I mean, people usually go back to work once they make it back from the honeymoon. They're going back to work.
Yeah.
So it's like, is he going to be even home long enough for them to get to know each other?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Yeah. Oh, so, but also, correction, Eric is not the one. Eric and Virginia are not the ones that are 10 years apart.
Okay.
That's the other couple.
Yeah, on the website,
but he is the first divorcee.
Eric is 34 and Virginia is 26.
Yeah, yeah. So, 8 years.
Yeah. Not nothing.
Still not great. They still were, like, when she was going into high school, he was probably graduating college, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to look at it that way.
Asia,
but
we talk about a lot on 90 Day Fiancé about the disapproving friends. There's a lot of disapproving friends and families.
Yes.
And it seems like that almost every single person has several relatives, friends that they say, hey, guess what, everybody? I am engaged. I'm getting married. And nobody's friends are ever like, oh, this is incredible news. This is...
Right. I'm all for it. This is perfect.
Yes.
There's always the skeptics. So like for Eric, it was his mom.
Yeah.
And she was like, so good old Donna. She was like, OMG. Yes.
She really did not think this was a good idea.
I know. And you can tell just like with their interactions that he's probably a mama's boy too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm scared for them because Virginia, so she has been single for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means her last relationship was when she was 21.
Mm-hmm.
She's living the single party lifestyle, goes out to drink with her friends lots of the times. And her disapproving person in the situation was her dad.
Yeah. So.
Sorry,
Dad. Virginia's getting married to Eric, the Mr. Flying Solo.
Right. And he just said, fun. If nothing else, I can see it on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Before we move on,
okay.
Do you have a prediction about staying married or getting divorced?
I think they're all getting divorced.
Okay. All of them.
I don't know. It's like, I think that at the end of the show, I've never seen it before, so I don't know how many people get divorced by the end and how many people get divorced like a year after the show.
Yeah, it varies. Sometimes they have better seasons than most. Like last season, they had three of the couples stay together and they're still together. But they did film it like, you know, earlier in 2020. So it would be wild if they are divorced already. But they're together and happy. So three out of the five decide to stay together. Whereas you might have other seasons where one out of five stay together.
Asia, how does the show end? Is there sort of like some sort of like host of the show that asks them like, all right, so Virginia and Eric, are you going to stay together or get divorced?
Yes. So at the end of the 8 weeks, there's decision day and the experts get together with the couples. Each couple has their own private meeting with the experts and they ask each person, what is your decision? Are you going to stay together or get divorced? And so they ask the question to each person. So you have had couples in the past where one person wanted to stay married and one person wanted to get a divorce, which in case, like in that scenario, they get a divorce because you're not going to stay with someone who, you know, wants a divorce. But once they make that decision, then they decide, you know, during decision day, if they want to stay together, get a divorce. And then there's always a reunion special with Kevin Frazier.
Okay. So from Entertainment Tonight?
Yeah. He's all for it. Like he loves married. He's been doing that for seasons. I don't know if it was from the beginning, but he's been doing it for years. And he's always really tough on the couples, which is awesome to watch. He loves the drama.
Yeah.
And so he always like interviews them. And then most of the time there's an update where maybe one of the couples, you know, decided to stay together. And then by the reunion, they are divorced.
Okay. So sometimes it goes on a little while longer. So
yeah.
Is there ever a scenario where one person, like they have to say at the count of three and one person says stay together, the other person says divorced?
No, they don't even say it at the same time, which blows my mind that people are that vulnerable because yeah. they take turns. Like one person will say, you know, we've had a tough time, but I decided I want to give us another shot and I want to stay married. And then you'll have the other person say, well, you know, we have had a tough time and I don't see us bouncing back from this. So I want to get a divorce.
How do they not do it at the same time? Like one, two, three, divorce. Oh, wouldn't that be great television?
Right. It would be gold.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they haven't thought of that yet in 12 seasons.
Okay. Maybe they're listening to this podcast. Sometimes you never know who's listening right. to these. And then maybe it's a producer for season 13. Okay. All right. Right. Anything else on Virginia and Eric?
I don't know. So yeah, I do Eric not think they're going to last. I do not think they're going to last. I think he's not going to be fun enough for her. I think
he doesn't seem very fun.
Yeah, he doesn't. Like, he smiled. Like, even at the bachelor party, he was just kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. No, I'm not with this. I'm very conservative. I, you know, my parents are conservative. I live a conservative lifestyle. So he did not want to have a good time at the bachelor party. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's literally what it's going to boil down to. And, you know, in past seasons, some couples don't even make it to decision day. Some couples get divorced and then they're done. And then we'll have check-ins with them throughout the season individually, but they're done. Like, they don't make it to decision day. So that's not a guarantee. It's only a guarantee that they'll say yes at the altar.
We'll be right back to talk about Paige and Chris from Married at First Sight. But I want to welcome back a sponsor, IP Vanish. What is IP Vanish? IP Vanish is a virtual private network, a VPN for short. A VPN is a super important tool that helps you safely browse the internet. You can use a VPN on your computer, tablet, phone, even things like a Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use a VPN, all your data is encrypted. What you're reading, what you're searching, what you're watching, whatever it is you're doing, that's important. Because what you're doing on the internet isn't my business, and it's no one else's either. IPVanish helps you remain anonymous and secure on the internet. IPVanish is just $3.49 a month. For just $3.49 a month, $27.99 a year, you can help protect your online privacy and security. Here's everything you get with IPVanish, an anonymous IP address. That means your personal IP address can't be tracked by anybody on the web. IPVanish has more than 1,500 servers in 70-plus locations. Get protection when using public Wi-Fi. As well, remember, with IPVanish, all your data is encrypted, so no one can snoop on what you're doing. 24/7 support. Email them, chat with them, even call them. They're there to help. If you remember, these guys supported the show a couple of weeks ago. They've come back with an even better deal, wanting to offer something special for the new year. 65% off now. Go to IPVanish.com/Rob to claim your 65% savings. They have plans starting at just $3.49 a month or $27.99 a year. It's the time to sign up with our discount and their current promotion. You can get a VPN for 65% off their usual offering. IPVanish, it's one of the best, even rated 4.7 out of 5 on Trustpilot with more than 6,000 reviews. So show these returning sponsors some love. Remember, it's IPVanish.com/Rob to get the deal and start protecting yourself online. All right, let's get back to Paige and Chris talking about Married at First Sight. Let's talk about my favorite couple from the season, and that is Paige and Chris.
Yes. Not to be confused with Chris Williams, Swaggy C.
Mm-hmm.
This is Chris Williams II.
Yes.
Blessed with $2 signs.
That's his nickname. Blessed with two yes. dollar signs.
Yes.
Yes.
He is a character for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if it's like an enjoyable character. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so on the fence.
Yeah. So, all right, we meet Paige first. Paige, she is, comes from a, you know, a background that, you know, her family is, very religious. She wants mm-hmm. to get married. She's like a self-starter. She has her own house. She has a family that does not think this is a great idea.
Right. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. I think that when she was talking with her family, she, I think her brother asked, what if the person you were going to get married to is Shrek? And I said, shut up, Tim.
Right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, but basically she said she was very open to anything and that her only deal breakers were that, you know, or if the man was not God fearing or did not want to start a family, those were her big two things.
Her only thing. And I'm so glad her brother called her out on that because he's like, no, because if I name this thing or I
what
name this thing,
feet smell.
Right. And he's like, as coming from someone who is married, basically saying, listen, I know what marriage is like, mm-hmm. and you don't know what you're walking into.
No, she's ready. She's ready. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
She said, I'm ready to love on this man despite all his flaws. I'm like, girl, I want to see her.
Get ready.
I know. I want to see her play that back in the future when she's mad at him for something. Like, I think this is going to be our toxic couple of the season.
Oh.
I just.
It, yeah.
I would be so surprised if they just hit it off and get along really well. See, like, I will eat my words.
You know better than me, Asia. But I thought that they were going to have problems. But then by the end of the episode, I came around and I was like, oh, maybe this is going to work. But let's meet Chris. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's Chris. Chris is a godly man. He comes from a very religious family. He was considering being a pastor. But then he ultimately didn't end up doing that. He wants to have a family. Here's what Chris is looking for in a woman.
Sexy, good in bed, and a freak. A life without those things would be a sad Christopher with blue balls.
Yeah, Chris, that he is the thirstiest member of the Married at First Sight cast.
Absolutely. Like, he just sounds like he cannot wait until the first night they're together so they can consummate their marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Because later on, with the guys, he asked this question.
What would you guys do if you had a honeymoon baby?
Yeah. Nobody else was even thinking of this stuff yet.
Right. They're like, that hasn't even crossed my mind. I just hope she likes my jokes.
Yes. Yes. Well, this comes up with the bachelor parties and the bachelorette parties. And I hadn't even been thinking about this yet. But how many of the Marriage at First Sight or Married at First Sight marriages end up getting consummated on the wedding night?
That is a great question. So there have been quite a few that have consummated their marriage on the wedding night. And I think those were the couples where the physical attraction mm-hmm. was mutual from jump. And then some people have consummated a couple of days later on the honeymoon mm-hmm. and they'll have a couple that are, you know, later on in the experiment where, and then they definitely tell you it'll be, you know, day 12 of Married at First Sight. And they wake up and they do their little morning camera and they say, we consummated our marriage last night.
Whoa.
But yeah, they are very open about it. But then you do have a lot of couples who have not. Who go the whole experiment and do not consummate their marriage. And
marriage?
99% of the time, mm-hmm. they end a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Because it's usually they didn't consummate it for a reason. You know, they weren't getting along or whatever. But there was one season, which is actually the season that's on Netflix. So there is one season on Netflix, season 9, where one person was a virgin.
Yeah.
And so, of course, that was a topic of conversation.
Yes.
The whole season for her.
Was it the man or the woman?
The woman.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Because so she was just like, you know, because he was like, you know, we're married. You were waiting for marriage and we're married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, yeah, but we might be divorced in 3 weeks.
Right.
Like, exactly. You're a one. I don't know if you're the one yet.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think some of these guys are like, hey, all right, that's right. My wedding night. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. They are. And it is, I mean, and sometimes it's the guy who's kind of holding back where the girl is like, hey, I'm ready.
Yeah.
When you are.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting for the guy to make the move.
Yeah. It's funny that you brought up the virgin question because the women, and I really, again, I liked sort of like the people that were like going through this, they were able to finally ask some of their questions to people that weren't so disapproving. And
yeah.
There's a lot of like, would you rathers that come up? And one of the ones that was asked was, would you rather that the guy you were going to be paired with was a virgin or didn't drink alcohol?
Right.
I was like, that's weird. Even
right.
Big Jeff was like, oh, that's an interesting one.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you rather he's
even
a virgin or drinks a virgin margarita?
Right. I like, how does anyone not just say doesn't drink alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no,
that seems like the easy answer.
They felt like that. Oh, he'll be like really like disapproving and like a wet blanket.
Because they just want to have a good time.
Yes. Yes. That a lot of
especially
them
Virginia.
Like, OK, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. OK. Maybe he was waiting. And, you know, that there's no issue there. He's just waiting as a virgin. But if
right.
he doesn't drink alcohol, you can't bring him anywhere. He's going to be, you know, the like big wet blanket right. at every party.
Exactly. Yeah, because like even think about Virginia and Eric. If Eric's a pilot, he's not just drinking all the mm-hmm. time. You know, she definitely is the type of girl to have a glass of wine every night.
Yeah. And I say I am not a big drinker. I'm just saying that some of these women are, mm-hmm. you know, they like to party and that would
yeah.
be like a bigger change up to their lifestyle to be with somebody who wasn't drinking.
Who doesn't. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that Brianna was saying like, well, like, you know, he could help you. He could help like put you to bed or drive the car, try to put a positive spin on it. But she's the
right.
outspoken optimist.
Right. That's
her
exactly.
thing.
That's why I think Vincent are going to work out so well because they both seem so sweet. Like it doesn't
yeah.
seem like neither one is going to cause conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's caused, it seems like the other one's going to be very compromising
yeah.
in the situation. So I'll be surprised if they don't.
Asia, what do you think about Chris meeting with his pastor in the episode? He got like a lot of screen time of Chris's pastor. Like he should get a spinoff.
Yes.
He is the
supporting cast of this, him along. Like I want Donna to show up a little bit more so she can be a part of the supporting cast too.
Mm-hmm.
Eric's mom. But yes, he met with his pastor a lot. His pastor was there for the suit shopping.
Yeah.
He was there for the initial conversation with his grandparents who, by the way, I definitely thought they were his parents.
Mm-hmm.
They looked super young.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, he was speaking with his pastor and he was just being so open
yeah.
and definitely not the type of conversation I thought he would
yeah.
be having with a pastor.
Cool pastor that, you know, the pastor is asking Chris about, you know, well, you know, it's very important, Chris, like, are you in, you know, love or lust? And he talked about like, you know, when I met my wife, that was the first woman that I waited to have a intimate relationship with. Like, really, pastor, go on.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, yeah, that's how I knew that she was the one, because she was the first woman that I didn't sleep with right away.
Right.
And Chris says, yeah, that's my story.
With that, which you got to give it to him. That was clever. That's going to be true.
Yeah.
but this man, he is full of himself. Like, Chris, not the pastor. Chris Williams II. He thinks that he is the man.
He's blessed like, with $2 signs.
With $2 signs. He said, like, it blew my mind. He said that, like, he wants to have kids because he thinks he was born to reproduce himself.
Yeah. Yes, yes. But
I've never heard that before.
How many kids?
Seven.
No more than seven. That's it.
No more than seven.
Yeah. So boy.
And he probably wants all boys.
Yes.
Okay. All little Chris's.
He wants to be co-CEOs with his future wife.
Right. Which Paige does seem ambitious, but I feel like he's going to be too much for her. Mm-hmm. Like, they're both alpha people.
Yeah.
Like, she's dominant.
Yeah.
He's way too dominant. And he's going to be thinking like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Especially being religious, he's going to be thinking, why is this girl not submitting to me? Why is she not being a little bit more submissive? Like, I'm saying this goes, I'm the one making all the money. He talked a lot about how he makes a lot of money.
Yeah. And I hope for both Paige and Chris, they got everything that they needed to do done before they have the seven kids.
Right. Right. Yeah. Chris, he said his last name is his business.
Mm-hmm.
So this couple is LLC Twitter. Like, if LLC Twitter could be a couple, they would be Paige and Chris. Like, there's no way they're not like on Clubhouse speaking about how to make a profit. Like, they this is how they live their lives. And so, like, that part of them, I could see why the experts think like, oh, they're a great match because of that, because she's a realtor. Mm-hmm. But like, just your personalities have to mesh as well. And I just don't see. I don't know who would mesh with him. Mm-hmm.
With Chris.
But yeah it can't be Paige.
Okay. Do you have a prediction where you said you don't think they're going to stay together? I think they're going to work.
You think so?
I could see it. I could see it because later on we're going to hear it from Paige, and it's like, oh, maybe her and Chris are more compatible than I thought.
I know. I was shocked at how much they were talking about, because I just feel like, okay, they're always open about consummating the marriage, but never that much detail about what else they desire.
So the women, they get together and that they have one session where it's like the five of them get to meet for the first time. But then they had like a whole other session where it was like the bachelorette party, and the bachelorette party got wild.
Right. The bachelorette party was crazy. They were drinking a lot more than I feel like I've seen in past bachelorette parties. They were doing, you know, lap dances. Clara, who we're going to talk about in a little bit, mm-hmm. was judging Virginia for how much she was drinking, which blew my mind.
Virginia did throw up in the bathroom.
Yes, true.
Mm-hmm.
she's just thinking like she's mourning her single life that's about to be over, that she didn't realize what she's getting herself into and mm-hmm. all the stuff she's going to have to say goodbye to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I play a sound clip also from this conversation? This is when we got to see Paige is talking about, she's asking the other women, is there anything that you maybe wouldn't want to do that might come up? This is Paige.
I was just talking to my best friend in the car about this. Would you eat his butt?
Yeah, this is Lifetime. This is real Lifetime. Lifetime. What has happened? They used to have Golden Girls reruns on during the day.
Lifetime has definitely adjusted their audience because of these different dating shows they have now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Lifetime used to be the spot for the middle-aged woman to just go and relax, watch a nice little murder mystery, a love story gone wrong, and watch it for a second or third time. But this, I was shocked to myself.
Yeah, this got wild. There's another part that I'm not gonna play. I'm not gonna play this clip either right now because it's a family podcast. And that there's another woman who's there, and she asks them, "Well, what if he doesn't perform an act, which I believe is impossible to perform on a woman?" Wild. She asked about something that I think is off the menu.
I was just like, right? I'm like, okay, y'all are being really open. Y'all better be just as open. Right? Her definition is a little off.
Yeah. I don't think so. That's a different show.
Right.
Oh, that's, gosh. That's what happens when the women get together. It's Sex in the City.
Yeah. Basically. Yes. Yeah. That's all it is.
Yes. All right. Well, let's meet the Samantha of the Sex in the City crew. That's Clara and Ryan.
Okay, so we had Clara and Ryan. Clara's Miss Sassy and Spunky.
Yeah.
She talks about a lot of the bad first dates she's had in her past.
She went on some bad dates, including one with a gentleman who was constantly bragging about himself and some of his features.
Right. Yes. Some of his features that he was hoping that she would see,
no.
But she's like, no, I'm not doing that.
That wasn't good. There's also a guy who showed her like a 30-minute slideshow of his ex's dog for some reason.
Yes. Right. Yeah. He probably thought he was, that's his child. Mm-hmm. You know, people get so attached.
Yeah. But Clara's fun.
She is. And on the matchmaking special, they really went deep into what she was looking for. And she was very explicit with what she was looking for. She said she wanted somebody who was racially ambiguous. Yeah. She was like, I marched. I'm very active with my civil and women's rights. And so she was just driving the point home that her husband did not have to be white.
Yeah. Yeah. She said, I want people to look at him and know he's something, but not know what he is.
Right.
That's what she was looking
right.
for.
I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's so odd. But hey, if that's what she's into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If she want average height, like average everything. And nobody would be able to tell where he's from. Okay. Right. So enter her partner, Ryan. Ryan has a wild haircut, Asia. I've never seen anybody with this haircut before. Let me try to explain.
Let's please unpack his hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Ryan is, okay, so he has a beard. Is pretty not super mm-hmm. long, but he has a nice beard. But then he has mm-hmm. the sides of his head completely shaved, like with a razor, up to like almost yes. like a mohawk. But he has like the hair in the front, like combed down flat, so imagine like instead of a mohawk sticking straight up. If you took a comb right. and combed your hair straight, slicked back, that's what he has going on.
Slicked is the key word. It shines in the
it's
light.
It's wild.
And I'm just so confused because he did say, so he is like, he is what Clara is looking for in terms of being racially mm-hmm. ambiguous. He does identify as black, but I think he might be black and white. He's black and mm-hmm. mixed with something. And so I know his hair is probably naturally curly. It has some type of curl definition to it. So he has to straighten this, or he gels it so much that it is straight.
I'm wondering,
like
maybe
this.
Does he have a bald spot? And then, why shave the maybe nobody will think of that.
There's just so many questions. Like, how long has mm-hmm. he been growing it for it to be slicked back like that? Like, is this the better alternative to the naturalness of curly that he probably has? What is his inspiration? Who told him this hair would be okay? Like, who approved this when he did it for the first time? That's like, he had to do this for the first time at some point. And someone was like, oh, that's nice. But who is that person that's not speaking truth into his life?
So overall, you feel like this is bad.
So bad. Like, he is so handsome. Like, he could be such a handsome guy. Like, the face, the beard, mm-hmm. perfect. Love it. And then you look at the hair and I'm like, oh my gosh, why? Mm-hmm. Why did you make that decision? I question every decision you make in your life, because you made that decision with your hair.
It's a little similar to like when Paulie and Paul Abrahamian give themselves the same haircut in Big Brother 18, but if they like slicked it back.
Yes, but flat.
Yeah.
Flat. Yes. You take that, you make it flat on your head and go back.
This is what Ryan has going on. But otherwise, seems like a nice enough guy.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. He definitely seems like he's going to immediately have a wall up, which he just seems like he naturally does. And he says he's a man of routine. So he eats the same thing all the time. He works out. What do you say? Two to three hours a week he works out in the gym, Monday through Friday.
A week or a day? Oh, okay.
A day. 2 to 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday.
What is he, a professional bodybuilder?
It's evident.
Does he have nothing else going on?
Right. Apparently, well, because he's been single, he's had all the time in the world.
All right. So, the show ends on their wedding, and he had like a whole thing planned with like blindfolds and take off the blindfold. So, seems like a thoughtful guy.
Yeah, that seemed really sweet. So, like past seasons, like the first time they see each other is when the bride walks down the aisle, and so the husband might see, or the groom may see the bride first, and then she'll walk in. But he wanted to share this special moment with her, and so he got blindfolds so that they could blindfold each other and take it off at the same time and share that moment. Because I know a lot of people saw the previews and thought like Married at First Sight was doing this with this season. But I thought it was actually sweet that it was his idea and he just wanted to share this with her. And I was like, oh, he's so thoughtful. So we'll know if he's into her, if he keeps this thoughtfulness up, or all of a sudden he's just like there and not doing anything sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So then we have one other couple here on this season. And this is a weird one. Haley and Jacob.
Yes. So Haley's her little tagline or her description of herself was always a bridesmaid.
Yeah. She's always a bridesmaid. She's ready to get married.
Yes,
I guess all of her friends are married. She's sick of dating. And then also he's sick of dating. And it's like, all right, fine. That you don't have anybody. You don't have anybody. Right. Why don't you two just get married?
Right. I'm so confused with them. Because the experts, their justification was he's an offbeat homebody. She's offbeat. He can bring stability to her life. He needs her energy. I'm like, what? How is this justification that they're a perfect match? So this is the couple that's 10 years apart. So Jacob is 38. Haley is 28. So I'm like, they're just going to be natural things that they don't have in common because of the age difference. And so I'm afraid of that. But then speaking of the unsupportive people in your life, she had that friend, Lauren, who just immediately, like, they all had this moment, you know, with the people in their life saying like, oh, I got picked. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And Lauren was like, so you didn't think twice, like, there wasn't a second thought about this. She was just clearly not supportive.
Let's talk about Jacob, because I feel like that he's kind of a weird guy, Jacob.
He is. He's like the ultimate bachelor, but still trying to live the glory days of his younger years.
He kept talking about how he collects all things from the 80s and then wants to play like video games. I don't think she's going to like him.
I don't
forget
either.
That stay married. I don't even think she's going to like him.
Right. Exactly. Like that's like the foundation is like, okay, can they even be friends? I don't even think these two can be friends. Like, it might be a situation where she's like, I don't even know my husband. Every second he's talking about something new that he's interested in. Yeah. Like,
with all due respect to Jacob, that he seems like a douche.
Yeah, I got that vibe too. He doesn't seem like, okay, so he said that he thinks this is his last chance before 40 to get married. And he said, like, in his 20s, he would never settle down because he just always thought, like, there's something more. I'm like, has he really vacated that mindset?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. He also, like, when all the guys got together, like, he was talking to the pilot, Eric, and he's like, hey, you going to bring that pilot's hat on the honeymoon? And, like, why? Ew. You're what is wrong with you, sir?
Exactly. So weird. Like, that wasn't even funny. Like, why did you think that was going to add to the conversation? That was just weird. He also has a beach in his backyard, which is just odd. But he does have two adorable corgis and then like another little dog. But there are a lot of dogs on this season.
So that's the crew.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see their little puppies.
they get them all together, and this is I feel like that I wish the whole show was this. I didn't like, just to be perfectly honest, like I liked the time when they got to direct. Did not care about, like, oh, what's the dress gonna be, like, oh, what suit are you gonna wear, especially the guys. Who cares what suit any of the guys were gonna wear?
Chris Williams the second cares.
He cared. Sure. But I felt like we spent a lot of time on everybody's Luke for the wedding.
We did, because they were trying to fill 3 hours and had no business trying to fill 3 hours. We could have easily got through two whole weddings if they took out some of that, like, fluff.
Yeah. Also, when the guys got together, in addition to asking about the honeymoon baby, there was one question that was on Chris's mind.
My biggest fear is that she is ugly.
And they're like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, like, what if she's ugly? Right. And the guys are like, well, you know, this is somebody who we're matched up with, so maybe there's, like, maybe we should get to know her. And he's like, no, but really? What do we do if she's ugly?
It's so funny because it's like, it's almost like he hesitated. Like, he knew in that split moment, like, maybe I shouldn't say this, or like, maybe I should just say not attracted, or like, let's say I'm not attracted to her. But no, he's like, what if she's ugly? It's like, that's the worst. Why are you a grown man talking about people are ugly? Like, I feel like I stopped saying the word ugly in elementary school. Like, I don't even say things are ugly.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to say that table is ugly. Why are you saying a grown woman could be ugly? It just, this guy.
Yeah. The women, they're talking about do they bring any lingerie on the trip?
Right. And then they meet later, and Clara has gifted them all lingerie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's an odd gift. I'm not going to lie. You don't know anyone's sizes.
She didn't know. She definitely didn't. Right. She definitely didn't, because it was like a Yankee swap that went on.
Yeah.
People were like, I think that'll fit me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was just weird. Mm-hmm. It's about, like, I'm telling you, 12 seasons. They have not talked about, oh, did you bring lingerie to wear? It's just been very, like, very innocent conversations in the past.
Yeah.
So that's how I know this cast is already going to be wild.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, going back to Paige, you know, she talked about, speaking of Paige, she said that she would want, with, and they're talking about, like, sort of like the honeymoon experience, that she needs the guy to, well, she needs to see his papers. Like, I'm sorry.
Paper.
Yeah, she needs his papers, and I'm sorry to say, Paige, I don't think that Chris is going to be bringing his file.
I highly doubt that because, first of all, who walks around with these papers? Like, is that just common for her that people just have that in their wallet?
Yeah,
like their most recent test results.
Yeah. At best, you could give somebody, here's my COVID test.
Right. Exactly.
here's my PCR.
My feet here, I've CC'd you on the email so you can see my PCR results.
Yeah.
That's not even a point of concern. They have not even mentioned, like, okay, maybe they're the producers are like, oh, we're just not going to, people are living COVID right now. Yeah. We're not going to touch on it. But no, I'm actually just more concerned.
Yeah. Well, I thought when they had like, okay, they have sort of like, all right, we'll have like the five women together and the five guys together. And I was like, okay, well, maybe either this was filmed before or there's like some kind of a bubble. But when we get to like the bachelor parties, yeah. This is like 30 people there.
Yes. Even though the bachelor party had the I want to say maybe like go-go dancers that were in cages just and then it surprised me that Vincent was trying to like talk to one of them. I was like, Vincent, this is not in character. This is not the man I was presented to 5 hours ago.
I guess is it cheating if you've never met the person before?
That's valid. No.
If you are in an arranged marriage, is it cheating to, you know, I mean, he was really just talking to her.
Right. Hey, I mean, that could turn into something emotional. Mm-hmm. He could be thinking about her tomorrow. But I mean, technically these people are engaged.
Yes.
So I don't know.
I'm engaged to someone. I really shouldn't be talking to you.
Right.
So, all right. We got through the whole thing where everybody's picking out their wedding dress. Did anything that, again, that my, you know, like idiot brain doesn't really comprehend anything that's going on. Did anything jump out to you from picking out wedding dresses or like, I couldn't tell you anything from my own journey through like you know, picking out my like I went to the men's warehouse and then Nicole said, okay, get this and this and this. I said, fine, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. I the only thing was, so a couple of brides stood out where like it is really, so I've been a bridesmaid maybe like, well, no, not maybe, definitely 3 times, and so it's been a situation where like it's an occasion when you go wedding dress shopping. You want your family there. You want your girls and you want your mom. And so I thought it was really sweet when Virginia's stepmom came because she thought like none of her family was going to come. So I thought that was really touching. And then when Clara tried on her dress, it was very interesting how picky she was and how specific. She definitely knew what she wanted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shoot, she's going to be a tough cookie. Like, she's not just that way about wedding dresses. Like, she's going to be that way about everything.
Clara is also having a bit of a panic attack. She's been having some bad dreams about her husband walking down the aisle.
For the last few days, my anxiety, I felt like, has been through the roof. I had a nightmare that, like, the guy standing at the altar was not who I was supposed to marry. It was, like, someone else, like, pretending to be my husband. I had a nightmare about my husband showing up at the altar in Crocs.
Not Crocs.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, we do have where is it? Who's the guy that lives at the beach? I bet he could show up in Crocs.
Right. He could. Jacob.
I could see that.
I could see. He's like, hey, she has to marry me. So he seems very set in his ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, and then the other thing from the wedding dress and suit shopping, Chris wants to be the best dressed groom in Married at First Sight history. And I'm like,
who's keeping stats on this?
Right.
Chris.
Right. Who didn't just wear a black jacket? You know, like what? Why is this what you're thinking about?
Yeah. All right. We talked a little bit about the bachelorette party. It's getting wild. The ladies are drinking quite a bit. The guys do not seem to be drinking as much, but you know, we do have like, these go-go dancers in cages. Here comes Chris, who late arrival. I guess he had to work late. I don't know. He's working still during the filming of Married at First Sight. I think he's getting married tomorrow. You would think he could get the day off. And right. He comes in with this blow-up doll wearing a mask. And he said, I'm here to be as respectful as possible to my future wife. No, you are not, Chris.
Not at all. You literally are just egging on the other husbands to play with this blow-up doll as well. You had Jacob and Eric. They were not down for it. They did not want to be playing with the blow-up. But he thought, hey, this is perfect. I'm showing up late. I'm going to make an entrance. And I'm going to put a mask on this blow-up doll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We mentioned Vincent. Vincent told us that he would have been happy to marry the go-go dancer. Wrong answer, Vincent.
Exactly. That, I mean, it just shows you he's a sweet guy.
He's like, at least
it's not
going to
take much.
Yeah, I could. That'd be fine with her.
Right? I can tell you one thing. Brianna is not going to be happy when she sees that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then also, Eric was super no fun at the party.
Not at all.
And when you take a look at like the pairings, his bride to be gets so wasted, she's throwing up. He is least fun person at the party, like wants to go home.
Match made in heaven. The experts hit the nail on the head with this one.
Mm-hmm. So we get to wedding day. And now, do they all get married at the same day, or how does this work, Asia?
It's usually staggered. It's definitely changed over all the seasons. But even season 10, like two of the couples were getting married in the same venue in different, I guess, banquet halls because the brides ran into each other in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh my gosh, we're in our wedding dresses. Hey. But I think it's staggered over a couple of days because they do go to the honeymoon together. So it has to be in the same time frame.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have our Clara wedding with Ryan. And this is very romantic what happens here because that they get a chance to send each other a love note. Does this happen with every couple, Asia?
Yes, they send them. They'll give each other something usually before they meet each other. So some type of note or something like that.
Yeah. And so Clara, she sends a note to Ryan and she says that I really would love for my fiance to, you know, get down on one knee for this very special event. And she included a Smirnoff Ice and she iced him.
She did.
She iced him. The first person since 2009 to get iced. And it was Ryan.
Yes. I thought that was the perfect like gesture for her like personality. I'm like, okay, he knows what he's dealing with now because he got iced and you're not going to get that from some like just shy girl who, you know, doesn't get out much. Like she thought, hey, and he took it like a champ. He's like, whoa, yeah. I'm getting old.
I mean, I can't believe that he even knew what that was. I mean, this was like a real like Hail Mary that he would know what getting iced was. For those of you who are newer listeners to the that getting iced was a trend that exploded in the year 2010. That if you gave somebody a Smirnoff Ice, which is some sort of a white drink. It's not malt liquor. What would you call it? It's like a wine cooler.
It's like a wine cooler. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you give it to somebody or you like plant, like somebody finds it, then you say you got iced and then they have to like get down on one knee. I don't even understand if there's some like Tim Tebow connection to getting iced, if that's the same thing, getting iced and Tebowing. Have you ever gotten iced, Asia?
I have once at a, it's ironically enough, it was not even in college. It was after college where I was doing a white elephant gift exchange where you just open, you know, open gifts, you get a present. And my present was a Smirnoff Ice. And so I just opened it and they're like, oh, you got ice. So I had to, chug it. It was at like a work party.
Mm-hmm.
But
trying to remember. I don't recall if I got ice. I know I iced somebody one time.
Mm. but you've never been ice. You've never been the recipient.
I don't know if I did or not in terms of getting. I think I probably did. Things are definitely hazier from that era of my life. Right. But I definitely did ice somebody good one time. This guy that I used to work with named Stupid Jim.
Maybe this conversation is the reason icing will come back and people start icing people. So the key is that you just hide it around someone and someone sees it. First person to see it has to drink it.
Right? I didn't even know they still made Smirnoff ice.
Right. Yeah, they I definitely see them.
Who's drinking these?
I have no idea because I'm a cider girl. So usually the ciders are pretty close to where the Smirnoff ice are set up. And so I usually see them, but I don't grab one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I guess this is still going on. People are still getting ice. Who knew? Who knew?
Right.
But this, how embarrassing for Clara that she does this stupid, she's going to ice Ryan. And then Ryan sends to her handwritten, like a 3-page, like opus that's like super romantic. This is the first thing that I saw. Oh, wait, you know what? I don't think these two are going to fit.
Right. I was like, they're on such different pages, like in terms of taking this seriously.
Yeah.
Like she was crying. Her mom was tearing up. Her bridesmaids were tearing up at what he wrote. Cause it was just so heartfelt. It was just about how he's committed to this process and he's committed to loving her and being with her. And she iced him.
I mean, she's doing like juvenile pranks and he is pouring his heart out to her.
Which is probably a sneak peek into their relationship. Like, she's probably just going to be constantly just all over the place. And he's trying to have a serious conversation about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. And working out 3 hours a day.
Right.
Yeah. And so we get one last twist here with his love note is that he says, okay, well, I also want to do a thing where we wear blindfolds. Let's wear blindfolds to the wedding. And then I won't even see you. Until, I mean, we're really taking Married at First Sight to the extreme.
Extreme. You already don't know each other. And it was kind of cute. The reason he wanted to do this is that he wanted the touch to be their first interaction, which is so sweet. Side note, it reminds me of most of the time these people don't know each other. But they did have one season, or actually last season, where a couple had met before. They had mutual friends.
Yeah.
And they met. So they already interacted and she was interested, but he was dating someone at the time. So they couldn't date. But they ended up staying together. They're a beautiful couple. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was so sweet of Ryan to have who thinks of that?
Yeah, Ryan does. Again, I don't know if this is his match.
I don't think so.
I don't know. They're too different.
30% chance give it.
So
of surviving,
and that's where the episode ends. Asia, do you in the next episode are we going to get all the other weddings?
Yeah. So hopefully,
yeah.
Depending on how they do it, usually their episodes are about an hour and a half. So this 3 hour was crazy. But we might get the first three weddings. And then the next episode will be the last two. Mm-hmm. And then the final episode will be then the next week would be going on the honeymoons. So that's why it drags out so long to 17 episodes because they space it out like this. But I understand the point of really getting to know the couples and seeing everything. Because if they did try to jam in all five weddings in an hour and a half, might be a lot. I mean, they wouldn't be able to do that kind of detail on The Bachelor, and they have a 2 whole hours. So I'm predicting based on what they've done the last few seasons, it'll be 3 weddings and then 2 the following week.
Okay. Asia, can you tell me about how does the honeymoon work? Are the 5 couples going to go away together or do they leave Atlanta?
Yeah, they're going to go to a resort. Well, we're in a pandemic, so I question if they're really going to go far, or maybe to Mexico, because they usually go to a resort in some exotic area.
Could they charter a plane here for production?
Could they? Or you're saying do they?
Yeah, I guess I would think they could, maybe.
Maybe. Right. And I don't know what Lifetime's budget is. Mm-hmm. You know, but so the problem is it's changed over the season. So it used to be different time frames. They would do their own honeymoons, separate locations, separate countries. And then later seasons, they started going to the same location. And now that they meet up more often, they're at the same resort. They are doing similar activities. They meet often, which is just definitely more entertaining. But yeah, when they do that, they all leave together and then they kind of show up sporadically. So I'm not sure if they even all travel together, but they're all coming from Atlanta because mm-hmm. they're all in Atlanta.
Yeah.
They just, you know, change cities every season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm very interested to see how this plays out.
Yeah. I mean, I think the honeymoons are always the most mm-hmm. telling part because that's setting the tone. That's setting the tone on physical intimacy, emotional intimacy.
Yeah.
It's setting the tone on if you like this person, can you get along with them? Can you sleep in the same bed as them without things being awkward? Because they do like little excursions and stuff. And so I mean, I really wonder what this is going to look like since we are in a pandemic because we haven't seen a full season in this time yet, filmed during this time. So that'll be interesting to see if they are just in the resort spending time together. So I don't know. We shall see.
Okay. All right. Well, Asia, thank you for coming on with me and explaining to me how this all works on Married at First Sight. We'd love to hear back from people who are looking for more Married at First Sight coverage because we always have the opportunity to do more on the Rehab Up.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone definitely let us know if you enjoyed this and if you want more. I love the show. I'm always watching every season, keeping up with the couples, even on Instagram. Mm-hmm. This will be the first season that I don't look at any spoilers.
What do you keep
I usually
up with
always
on Instagram?
Look at the spoilers.
The couples?
Yeah. So I'll follow them. So a lot of times they'll be private during the season. I guess so they don't have to interact with people or the show doesn't want them interacting with people. But past couples are, I'll keep up with them as well, making sure people are still together, mm-hmm. you know, no divorce is happening.
Okay. All right. Well, this was great. Asia, thank you for coming on and taking me through this. And I feel like now at least I understand what's going on here. Oh, actually, do you still want to look at the Lifetime website?
Let's see that. Because
okay. You have a minute for this? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Lifetime, it's mylifetime.com. So I can't believe they can't get lifetime.com. I three different times I went to that website that's like some like construction site. Not under construction site, like right. Like literal like for construction. Okay. All right. The show's on Lifetime.
Like chairs, tables.
Let's see what's going
yeah.
on. Okay. All right. Married at First Sight, they have the number one spot. Okay. Second spot is
absolutely.
Marrying Millions. What is this? Women are marrying people that are millionaires?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does
and it
go
just
both
follows
ways?
Them
and
marrying.
Also,
so
are there women millionaires also that men are marrying?
I think there are. I think there have been past seasons where I've never watched a full season of Marrying Millions, but from the because I always see previews during
from
Married
the creators
at
First Sight, of 90
Day Fiancé. It does look like.
Yes.
Yeah.
One partner
yeah.
is incredibly
it seems
wealthy
like it's good.
And the other is not. Mm-hmm. I think I would like that one.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Because you know they're always in it for the wrong reasons.
Yes. Okay. Little Women Atlanta. This is a show
yes.
about little people living in Atlanta.
Yes. And based on the previews, this upcoming season is going to be great because they're like, we're little women, but we're still sexy.
Yes.
That show's a trip. I've definitely seen a lot of episodes. I've never followed mm-hmm. full seasons, but it's such a quick, easy, like, hit. Like, you can watch one episode and enjoy. They're yeah. a trip. It's basically like Bad Girls Club, but they're all
yeah, listen to
little
this.
Women.
The new season kicks off with Miss Juicy, Minnie, the Tiny Twins, mm-hmm. Amanda and Andrea, Abira, mm-hmm. and the return of Money as the ladies come all back together in Atlanta to pursue their dreams in the city's vibrant hip hop scene. So they're recording artists.
Look at
too?
Atlanta. No, I don't think so. They're just like socialites.
Oh, okay. They just go to like parties and stuff.
Yeah, they just like, I mean, and they've really made a name for themselves because they, I mean, I'm pretty sure they have a big followings okay. on Instagram because they are the Little Women yeah. of Atlanta.
Dance Moms.
Then you have Married at First Sight in Atlanta.
Yeah, we got Dance Moms. We know what that is. What is the Rap Game about?
Yeah. So the Rap Game is hosted by Jermaine Dupri. So this I have also seen every yes. season. I'm really not like a lifetime stan, but it seems like.
Hey, Asia, if you fit.
Right. So the Rap Game, Jermaine Dupri is seeking young rising yeah. stars. So he'll have a group of like maybe five or six young artists. So there'll be like maybe aging like 9 to like 14
like Kid Nation.
Who they rap.
Yeah.
And so every week they have a challenge where it's like, okay, this week is the freestyle challenge. So you got to freestyle against each other. Or this week you got to record a song to a beat I give you. And then they compete. And then he ranks them every week. And then at the end, there's a winner and they get signed to So Def. His record label that is not doing too hot because most of them, the winners will sign and then they'll go to a different record label. But right, there have right. been, I mean, for for people that like know Miss Mulatto, or maybe she just goes by Mulatto now. She won season one of the Rap Game, but she's a really big artist now, like a female artist that's like comparable to like Meg Thee Stallion. But I'm probably just going into a whole another you arena for you, Rob.
Meg Thee Stallion. Is that
Meg like Thee Stallion?
Yes. So is Megan too formal?
Megan is too formal. She is Megan Thee Stallion. So even if you look on like Apple Music, it'll come up as Megan Thee Stallion. But everyone calls her Meg Thee Stallion. It's because it's like, that's our girl. We know her. Mm-hmm. And she's from Houston and she blew up while going to college. And so that's what people know her for, was studying hard. And then also,
for
you
one
know,
other thing,
rapping
yeah.
and selling records.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Mulatto is also someone who is a rising star. Like she started on the Rap Game and now she has songs that are like hit records. Usually people from the Rap Game don't blow up like that. So. She's definitely one that, you know, she started on Lifetime. Mm-hmm. So look at that.
Okay. One other Lifetime show, Escaping Polygamy. Do you ever watch that one?
Yeah. No, but I would probably thoroughly enjoy it because I've watched a couple of Netflix shows yeah. about polygamy that have been very interesting. So I am curious because it doesn't seem like there's a way out. Like it seems like. Once you're in the polygamy lifestyle, like the only way out is in a box. But I would imagine people on this show have some success.
Could be tough to get out. I don't know if they love Married at First Sight either.
Right.
I'm not sure. Okay. Asia, well, this was wonderful. Thank you so much for taking me through Married at First Sight and letting me experience your passion. Here, the 12 seasons of Married at First Sight.
Yes.
Did you ever go back and watch the old seasons?
You know what? So season 10, I casually watched when it was on. Like I kept up here and there. I did not watch every episode, but I did go back recently and watched yeah. every episode. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was so good. So I haven't watched any of the other seasons multiple times, but I wouldn't be, I'm not above it. I could see myself definitely. It's such an easy show to just like you if you crave the drama, because I'm telling you, once the honeymoon start, the drama ensues. Mm-hmm. And so definitely knowing the outcomes, you know, which seasons are the best ones to rewatch. But it's definitely it's a rewatchable show, even if you know the outcomes.
What about the season that's on Netflix? You said season 9 is on Netflix. Is that considered to be the
yes.
best season of Married at First Sight?
You know what? I don't know why they did that. Like specifically season 9, because it was 50% success rate there. Yeah. So I'm not going to say who, in case someone goes and watches.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was just like recency bias. Like they like the people from those shows, and the successful couples from those shows are still involved. They're on like Married at First Sight couples cams, which follows them around and shows an update. So I don't know why season 9, but it was a good season. Like, you have all elements. You have a love story that was like, oh, y'all are so good together. You also have the virgin. And then you have a couple where the guy is terrible. Like, she finds out he's cheating. It's bad. It's so toxic. And but it's so entertaining.
You know, Asia, I posted a question thread in the Rob is a Podcast patron Facebook group. Let me just give you a couple of questions before we wrap up. Okay. Kristen wants to know, if one of your closest friends told you that they were getting married at first sight, would you try to talk them out of it? Or would you go to the wedding, assuming it was pre-COVID? So, Asia, you have seen 12 seasons of, or at least 11 seasons and 9 hours of this show. And so if you had a friend who was going to go through this process, would you be disapproving, or would you try to pump them up?
You know, it would truly depend on the friend. If this was a strong friend and I knew she could survive the divorce, go for it, girl. Have a great time. Mm-hmm. Do what you need to do. I will be there every step along the way. But if it's a friend who I know they've had like countless heartbreaks in the past, and I know that they probably couldn't stomach a heartbreak this serious, like coming out of marriage, then I would be like, no, you need to break that contract. You need to back out. Like, you cannot do this. I would give it my all to make sure that she doesn't do it, because this is not fit for everybody.
Okay. Alicia Rosen says, from 1 to 5 oofs, how bad of a match are each of the couples? I don't think any of them are compatible. Am I wrong? And thank you for entering this into the world. Can this be a full season podcast? Alicia Rosen loves Married at First Sight.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that her and I are
rankings.
One and the same.
Okay. Okay. I think I know the answer. We think that number one in the power rankings, the couple that we opened the show with, that was going to be Brianna and Vincent. They're number one in
Absolutely.
The power rankings.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, for sure.
All right.
Then it's downhill from there.
Then it's downhill from there. What about number two?
You know, even though my prediction is that they'll get divorced, I think there's still a chance. So I'm going to say Clara and Ryan.
Clara and Ryan. Okay. I know that you are more down on them than I am, but I think Paige and Chris should be three.
Should be three?
Yes.
I agree. Okay. I agree. Okay. I'm with you there.
All right. And then who's gets the bottom spot? Is it Haley and Jacob or Virginia and Eric?
You know, I'm only going to say that Haley and Jacob are that bottom spot purely because of Jacob and just who he is as a person.
Yeah.
I think Virginia and Eric, like, there may be times where Virginia will have a soft spot for Eric, and maybe they could develop a strong friendship.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But Eric's I think no fun.
There's no hope. There's no hope for Haley and Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that maybe would it be a better fit if it was Haley and Eric and Jacob and Virginia? I do think that would be a bigger age difference. But at least like he seems like, OK, he's like in like arrested development adolescence, and she's looking for somebody who's fun.
Exactly. Yes, I do think that could work out. Like, I think Haley and Eric, they are on the same wavelength. Like, they would be similar temperaments. But then with Jacob and Virginia, yeah, they can have fun. They can have a night of just making margaritas, sitting out on the beach, having fun with the dogs. Like, I think there's a chance there. So, yeah, they
love
definitely
dogs,
messed that one up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe they got the papers mixed up before the first episode. Okay.
Right.
Nicole Archer said, the footage of Clara putting on her makeup looked so ominous, almost villainous to me. Is this foreshadowing or bad COVID filming? Did you get a ominous villain sense from Clara?
Yeah. Her makeup was definitely caked on. And it, I mean, I got that vibe. I can definitely see that. And her, like, just having that villainous, like, ways when she's arguing. Like, I can see that side of her coming out when she's arguing with Ryan. Mm-hmm. Especially, it seems like when they argue, he's not going to give her what she wants in the argument. Like, mm-hmm. she's going to want him to be on her level. And that's not going to happen. So it's going to make her even angrier and even more like the Joker. So, I don't know.
Okay. And then I had one other question, which is from Sarah, who says, what couple is most likely to call it quits before decision day? Who has the best chance to not even make it there?
Yeah. See, I don't know if Haley has a dominant enough personality to like put her foot down and say like, Jacob's not for me. Mm-hmm. I could see Virginia doing it though. Like Virginia's like, no, I like it. This isn't working out. He's not, mm-hmm. we're not compatible.
Yeah.
I could see that happening, or even your favorite couple.
Paige?
If Paige and Chris.
No.
Yes. I could see them.
He's
going to
win her over.
Like,
he's going to win her over.
Not being on the same page.
I think so. They'll be on the same page.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Asia, you watching anything else good on television?
Oh, yeah, plenty. I'm watching, so throwback, I'm watching Girlfriends on Netflix right now. Mm-hmm. 9 seasons.
Oh, my God.
And it's a nice rewatch because they're my age now. And when I was younger, I had no idea what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. So watching that. But then on present day TV, watching The Bachelorette, The Challenge, The Good Doctor. So it's a scripted show on ABC. Mm-hmm. It's with... what's his name? The guy that was on, I can't remember the show.
Freddie
he
Highmore?
Was in love with his mom. Yes. Freddie Highmore. So Freddie is the good doctor. So he's an autistic doctor. And mm-hmm. so it's basically about the challenges of him being this amazing doctor while being autistic, dealing with the social anxieties of, working in a hospital and having to have like bedside manner and dating. It's really good. Mm-hmm. But then I'm also watching.
Is it a sequel to the Good Wife?
No, no, it's not.
What about
no
the Good Place.
No,
it's
totally
different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Totally different, arena.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm also watching 90 Day Fiancé, of course.
Oh,
so that's been
okay.
just
oh,
great.
Come on, yes. come on and talk with, myself and Puya.
Yeah.
Hi. Do you have a favorite couple from 90 Day Fiancé?
Oh, obviously, Brendan and Julia for sure.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's, always, the right answer. Yes. Okay. All right. Asia, where can people keep up with you, talk Married at First Sight, and everything else you're doing?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Asia Like Asia. So it's A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you can follow me there, or you can check me out on Instagram at Asia Like the Continent. I'm always posting pictures and Instagram stories of my dog and my roommate's dog. So I have a Malshi Poo and she has a standard poodle and they're the best of friends. So they're always doing stuff that warrants me recording it. So you could catch me there.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Asia. We've got a lot of other great stuff going on Rob is a Podcast. We also this week talked about the 39th best season of Survivor, which is Survivor Redemption Island. Had a fun panel the other night talking about the good and bad from Redemption Island. And also join us as we are doing our Kid Nation rewatch as I am going through the 2007 hit series Kid Nation with Phil Thompson every week on the RHAP Rewind, not to mention also our 90 Day Fiancé podcast that I'm doing with Puya Zambakili on Mondays on robisawebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.